I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, welcome into the Jazz Notes podcast. My name is Cleon Wall, and kind of like Ben Anderson did earlier this week, I'm solo today. Some of the guys that I wanted to get on could not get on, so you just get me. That's all you get today for the Jazz Notes podcast. Oh my goodness. I mean, what do we say right now? Do we just say gloom, despair, agony on me? I learned that from Hee Haw a while ago, that's what guys say when they're down in the dumps. And boy, does it feel like, as a Jazz fan and also a member of the Utah Jazz organization, to be down in the dumps right now. Jazz lose 4 in a row. They don't look good. I could say there are portions of each game where they did not look good. They looked worse against the Spurs and against the Suns, and then they lost to a good Rockets team, and they also lost to a pretty darn good Celtics team, too. So, you know, this team had so much promise coming into the season, but it's definitely not looking good right now. Mike Conley, Bojan Bogdanović, Jordan Clarkson, they added a bunch of guys who could score and make plays. They sacrificed length and defense, you know, in getting these offensive type of players. And it's kind of showing right now. But in reality, something hasn't changed. And it was discussed early on in the season. It's just now later in the season with only 24 games left in this regular season. It's really, what is the identity of this Utah Jazz team? Who are they right now? Who do you want them to be? Now, I'm going to talk about the team as a whole. I'm not going to talk about individual players. I'm just wondering who this team is right now. You know, are they that defensive powerhouse that has somehow lost its power? You know, I do think these guys are trying for the most part, but I think they're getting frustrated for some reason. I don't know if it's because they're getting frustrated what's happening on the offensive end. I don't know if they're getting frustrated because they're part of a losing streak right now. I mean, they lost 5, then they won 4, and now they're back to losing 4. And so maybe that losing streak is helping to rear its ugly head. You know, how hard are they trying at times? I think there have been times when they don't look like they're trying that hard on defense. I still think they're trying. They're trying to win games, but sometimes I think that they get frustrated or down on themselves and they don't get back on defense. I mean, transition defense has really been abysmal recently. And the funny thing is they keep talking about it. They know what the problem is, but nothing's happening right now. Nothing's been done to cure that. And I know Rudy hasn't been great on defense at times during this 4-game losing streak, but is that all his fault? In reality, he can only do so much. It's really up to the guys out on the perimeter to prevent guys from driving to the basket, which leads to either easy baskets near the basket, or if Rudy makes it back in time, if they don't have a guy that Rudy has to guard out on the perimeter and Rudy makes it back in time, it's usually swung to an open guy and then an open three-pointer is made. So I'm not sure it's all his fault. I'm not taking some of the blame away from him, but what I am saying is it's not all of his fault. You can't just sit there and say the defense is bad because Rudy has been bad. That's tough to put him in that position right now. He is a really good defensive player. He may not win Defensive Player of the Year for the third straight year, but it's not like he's a terrible defensive player. I think also we're kind of jealous right now because you watched that Celtics team last night. They have a lot of long wings who can play good perimeter defense, and you think to yourself as a Jazz fan, man, that's what I would like right now. Don't you? Don't you wish you had more length on the defensive end? But again, they sacrificed that so that they could have some more offense, because last season they really only had one guy who could playmake for them, and that was Donovan Mitchell. So they sacrificed so that they could go get some more offense. They have more offense, and now the defense is struggling. So, you know, are they really that defensive powerhouse that's lost its power, like I said? I don't know. I don't think this team has really been that big of a defensive powerhouse this year. I think you've had one good defensive player in Rudy Gobert, and you've had some good games from players out on the defensive end, but they just haven't, you know, strung it together consistently. So if they're not that, are they an offensive power, or are they an offensive juggernaut? That's what I was trying to say. I wasn't going to say powerhouse. I wanted to say juggernaut. I know the offensive struggle, especially when this team plays against teams that are smaller. It's funny because they do struggle so much when they do go small. When those other teams do go small, they struggled against the Celtics. They've struggled against the Rockets when they've gone small this year. Again, it seems kind of weird when you have a guy like Rudy Gobert, but I think part of that is that those offensive playmakers have tried to take it on. Teams have forced them to play a little bit more one-on-one, and so they try to do that, and it just hasn't worked out that well. So they have offensive playmakers, but their offense has been lacking at times. So what's the answer? What should the Utah Jazz do next? What should they do moving forward? Well, I'm going to take two extremist views on what they should do, and it's going to be on both sides of the ball. Should they try harder on defense, or should they go for it all on offense? On the defensive side, if you want to play better defense, then play better defense. Some of it is just an attitude. It's just effort. It's just going out there and trying to be a better defender. Now, some of those guys aren't going to be able to do that. You can get away with that in high school, and you can get away with that in college. I know you can't always get away with that in the NBA, but you still need to give effort. And so if you're going to do that, you just need to put all of your efforts into the defensive side of the ball. Don't go for rebounds on the offensive end. Get back. Send everyone back on a missed basket, except for maybe Rudy if he's near the basket. But in reality, if you want to cut down on transition defense, I know this sounds simplistic, but just get back on defense. Just do that. Just make it easy. Make it easier on your team so that you're not giving up any easy baskets. So is it simplistic? Yeah, but it's something that could help. You could also limit some of the minutes of the minus defenders and guys I'm talking about here. George Niang, who doesn't really move that quickly. Tony Bradley, who doesn't move that quickly. You could even say possibly Joe Ingles. You could cut down some of his minutes too, but he's pretty crafty. Maybe it's because I love Joe, but no, he hasn't been the defensive player you'd like to see. Mike Conley hasn't been that great at times either, and he's so slight. Royce O'Neal, he really needs to be able to get a body into a guy. He's not that great out on the perimeter at times. And then you got Bojan Bogdanovic, who was picked on by the Celtics a lot for his lack of defense. So maybe you play a little bit more zone defense like we saw them play against the Celtics, but that has some hazards too. So you shorten the rotation up to mainly have your best two-way players. I'm not sure the Jazz can do that, because really their two best two-way players, in my opinion that is, are Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. And you don't want to put too much pressure and stress on those guys, because they already give a lot of themselves. So who do you shorten up? I don't know. But maybe you try and parse those minutes out and you play guys like George and Tony a little bit less. That's going to be tough on those guys. So it might be difficult. Maybe the best answer there is you play a little bit more zone so that you're not beaten to the basket as much. And maybe you just get back on, you send everyone back, I should say, once the ball is shot up on the offensive end of the So the other extremist view is you go hog wild on offense. I'm not sure that's within Quinn's thought process, and you know, because he's really built this team to try and be a defensive juggernaut, or he had in the past, and then he got some offensive players. But why not? Why not give it a try? You only got 24 games left in the season. Why not try something new? Yeah, it's an extremist view. Turn them into the 7 seconds or less Suns. Okay, maybe 9 seconds or less. Maybe 10 seconds or less. Push the ball up the court as much as possible to score, and then score, and then score some more. Now, this might leave Rudy behind, and he's improved so much on the offensive end. Yeah, that might not make him happy, but you still involve him in the offense as much as possible. No, you're not going to be able to score every 10 seconds. So when he does make it down the floor, use him to the as much as you can. Use him in screen and rolls. Use him somehow to set a pick and roll. But if not, if he doesn't make it up the court, just zoom up the court. You've got plenty of fast guys that can make it up the court. Jordan Clarkson's one of them. Donovan Mitchell is one of them. Unleash these guys. Maybe you could even say that a guy like Mike Conley, who's not used to playing that way, give him more freedom to get up the court quicker. See if he can create some offense and, if you know, turn him into that Steve Nash where he dribbles through the middle, and if he doesn't have a layup, you know, he dribbles back out and finds someone on the perimeter, or maybe he dribbles kind of back out and finds a cutter. Try something like that. Players that might hurt, Joe, yeah, because we call him Slow-Mo Joe for a reason. Boyan, well, you could use both of those guys as trailers at the three-point line. You know, Emmanuel Mudiay may get some more playing time if this happens, because you're going to have to expand and play a lot more guys. I'm still not sure how he would do in the open court, but in theory it sounds good. As I said, I think that Jordan Clarkson would seemingly thrive because he knows how to get to the basket and he doesn't get his shot blocked a lot. And he actually has a decent mid-range game, too. And he's a good three-pointer. I think he would thrive under a faster system. So which extremist view would I go for? Well, let's be honest. I love offense. I would say offense. I know defense wins championships, but I love seeing teams fly up the floor. I love it when you put pressure on teams by actually putting pressure on them on the offensive side of the ball. And maybe they make some mistakes when they go back on defense, too. Maybe put a little pressure on them with a little ball pressure when they bring it out of bounds. I don't know. Now, do these types of teams win championships? The Suns never did. When Paul Westhead was coaching the Denver Nuggets, or even if you go back before that, when the Nuggets were all offensive, no defense, they didn't win any championships. But it's not like it's unprecedented. If you go back to the Lakers teams of the 80s, they won championships playing fast. And there was a reason why they were Showtime. They had a big center in Kareem. Granted, Kareem was a little bit better on offense than defense, but they were able to get by with Kareem. It's not like they always fast break. They gave the ball to Kareem, too. They also had an amazing guard in Magic Johnson and a forward in James Worthy who could fly up the floor. So, yes, it's totally different. I get you can fight back on me on that, but it's not like it's completely unprecedented. And these guys could play slow when they needed to play slow, and I think the Jazz already know how to do that. So will either of these two things happen during this season? I would probably say no. Quinn's not going to change his DNA or change his entire offense with only 24 games left in the season. So I would probably say no, this is not going to happen. And if it did happen, I think he would try and go for the defensive side first. I think he would try and say, let's get back on defense. We'll figure things out on offense. Don't worry, we'll do it. Which is interesting because, again, when he came in to Utah, everyone talked about how he was going to change Utah's offense, but then he noticed the players he had, and he had to change and say, well, we need to be a defensive-first roster. So maybe there's a glimmer of hope that things would change, but I really think if they did change, I would think they would not change until the offseason. So I would think if you're going to change this team, you're basically going to say, yeah, we'll try and take our chances on offense or fast-breaking when we can, but in reality, we're going to try and just get back more and just try and play better defense. I know that there are things at the granular level that need to change individually. Players need to change. But these are just simplistic quick fixes that I tried to come up with. And by the way, I still love offense. I'd love it if they would open it up a little bit more. I'd love to see Donovan and Jordan Clarkson and even Royce O'Neal or Mike Conley just fly up the floor, see what you could get, and then go from there. I think it would be fun. I think it would be exciting. It would be something different, and maybe teams would catch up because that's the way the NBA is. But maybe in doing that, maybe you can instill some confidence in these guys, and they would actually want to play a little bit better on defense. All right, that's going to do it for the Jazz Notes podcast. My name is Clay Wall. Thanks for subscribing, listening, and, well, tuning in whenever you can. We really, really appreciate it. Make sure you go to ksl.sports.com, kslsports.com, to get latest on Jazz coverage. Ben Anderson's been doing a great job there. I'll be covering one of the games this weekend, but he's been doing a great job there. He gives great analysis, so make sure you read all of his stuff and tune into the Jazz Notes podcast when he is on. All right, that's going to do it for the Jazz Notes podcast. We'll talk to you soon.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.